Welcome to Conversations in Cannabis. Today's episode features Dave Daly, founder and CEO of Texas-based Grav. This episode was recorded over the phone on June 2nd, 2021.
When did you guys exactly start, and what was the impetus for starting the brand in the first place?
Well, I got to start out by saying that it's been 17 years, and 17 years is multiple lifetimes in cannabis these days. But it goes back to 04. Frankly, it was a very innocent founder story where I just thought that that gravity bongs were the best thing that ever happened to the world, and I was going to make an all glass gravity bong, and that would be it. Everyone would just smoke out of gravity bongs from here on out. Most disruptive technology in pipe making since the advent of glass. And of course I spun my wheels for like 3 years trying to make that dream a reality. And the net result was to recognize that people want to smoke in many different ways, right? Like the ritual of cannabis consumption is, as alive and well as it was, today as it was 17 years ago. And, spoil the long story, but, that's where we really found ourselves, is in this place where we recognize that, the way you smoke is as important as what you smoke.
Well, and when you're launching it 17 years ago, I mean, if you think of that time period, you're talking about, around the era of Operation Pipe Dreams, right? And right. So when you're launching an accessory line around that time, I mean, were you kind of scared of a secondary or more, aggressive crackdown from the federal government? Like, what was going through your mind, kind of when you launched it, and what was your approach to make sure that, you didn't get swept up in that possible second wave?
Yeah, setting the scene in Texas in 2004 is one that is, feels like it was yesterday, where you've got, you're constantly looking over your shoulder. I didn't know how, I moved from Houston to Austin because I thought Austin Police Department, in fact, we had just gotten a new chief of police who was incrementally more, loose with cannabis sentencing than or punishments than Titan Houston was. But going back to that time, there was a 10-year cycle constantly around crackdowns in what was being sold in head shops, and so I consulted a bunch of lawyers who are primarily paraphernalia lawyers, and for everybody's knowledge, right? Like the paraphernalia laws on the books are still there. People are still getting, punished for paraphernalia laws. But, again, going back to that moment in time, I did my homework, right? Tommy Chong went to jail, Jason Harris for JBD went to jail. There was, people who were, the famous 51, groups that were shut down by the Ashcroft regime. Was top of mind, and we were looking over our shoulder constantly, right? Like this was I think that part of the reason why I didn't go hard in the first 3 years is because it was more of like, how long can I live in the shadows, and secretly take money from head shops to fund my lifestyle, which was very nominal at that point. But it was scary. There was times when, when we would get packages, seized intrastate. There were times that, you had a lot of really, we had a lot of really sketchy shops that you were dealing with who were laundering money, who would pay you in cash. You knew the reason they were paying you in cash is because they're not an up and up store. And there were people that would just stand you up, meaning like just steal your product from you. And it was a cost of doing business because you're operating in a gray area. And I think that's what we're all trying to get to, even in, in paraphernalia and in cannabis now is a real industry that people trust.
Right. And you've exploded since that initial time into this real industry now and have grown exponentially. With the amount of data that you've kind of seen since those days and the progression of the accessories market to today, what's kind of the one innovation that you've seen, you know, in that 17-year period that's kind of made you stop and think this is a pivotal moment for the accessories market? Was it the gravity bong?
Oh, I thought you were talking about in a bigger picture, right? The biggest thing that happened in 17 years was concentrates. That was not a thing, right? In 04, you didn't have concentrated THC, right? In shatter, rosin form, et cetera, right? And that sparked a whole ecosystem of consumption devices that, you know, we participate in to a certain extent, but, you know, those have been largely dominated by vaporizing devices. But, you know, from a, you know, hey, what happened and what, you know, what was our big aha SKU moment? It was, you know, reiterating what I was saying before, the aha moment was that people don't want to smoke out of one thing. In fact, like every time we launch, we've got about 250 top line SKUs, meaning like 250 different, you know, incrementally different shaped objects that people consume cannabis out of. And we have people all across the country and the world. So, you know, we service 28 different countries, and, you know, the only cannabis brand on earth that's servicing 28 different countries, you know, outside of raw. And, you know, there are people who are consuming in, you know, who collect all the 250 different objects, which just tells us that, like, hey, there are different moments that you choose a different device for the experience of consuming cannabis. So, you know, there wasn't a moment along the way that was like, you know, light bulb goes off. Oh, you know, that's the product to win them all. And, you know, at risk of our big secret, it is that there is no secret. Everybody wants to smoke out of a whole bunch of different things. And there's a fine line to walk there, right? Like, you know, you don't just make a 10-inch bong, an 11-inch bong, a 12-inch bong. Like, you know, it needs to do something. It needs to, you know, make you feel a certain way. And that's what we work, you know, that's arguably our primary differentiator, is that we spend an immense amount of time in the development process to understand exactly what that new object is going to be and how it's going to interact with you as you're consuming cannabis.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, Raw HBI, which is Josh Kesselman. I mean, they come out with some unique products. You guys also come out with some unique products. I remember the Grav Menorah a couple years ago getting launched. When you're coming up with some of these unique designs and some of these creative projects, like what's the drive behind that? And what makes that product design say to you, hey, I need to go to market?
You know, there's a moment, and, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't give an immense amount of credit to our head of design, Micah Evans, who has had an incredible glassblowing career and art, you know, artistic career himself. And, you know, really what happens is that, you know, we also have a fantastic product development process, and everybody at Grav is, you know, our test cases, right? Like we sample and we iterate and we sample and we iterate and we give the pipes out to our, heavy users, so to speak, and everybody comes back with, you know, fantastic recommendations, and some stick and some don't. And but at the end of the day, there is, like, you know, just this magic part that is, like, you know, you got to feel like the combination of the size of the bowl hole, the size of the carburetor, the filtration, the downstem, whatever, you know, what the water does when it's inside of the, you know, the unit, if it's a water piece, and, you know, see all of those come together and know when the moment is right to say, okay, ship it. And if you wait too long, then you left money on the table because you didn't get it out into the world, you know, soon enough. And if you ship it too soon, then the product's going to, you know, have some, you know, going to want some redesign. So there's a moment that you have to find this pretty magic.
Was there ever a product that you were like, this is awesome, and you kind of took it to the team, and maybe it eventually didn't make it to market, but it's still in the back of your mind? It's kind of one of those things that you look back and you're like, I wish that it would have gotten launched.
There isn't one the one that comes to mind isn't one that we didn't launch. It's actually this, you know, really early on, like 05, my first second product was, it's in quotes, was what I called the waterfall. And it's kind of like the, you know, that, what's it called? Stunden Glass. You know, have you seen that?
Yeah, so yeah, like, the gravity bung.
The one that goes, yeah, it's like that. I mean, it functioned the same way, but it was all glass, and they used like scientific separatory funnels. Yeah, the problem was even at the time when I tried, when we did launch it, I made it out of all glass, and so a ton of them broke. And you know, because it has this little, you know, stopcock that releases the, you know, it's not an automatic feature. It's a very like scientific-y apparatus type of thing. And I'm only saying that because I do see the success that Stunden's had. And you know, I think it's a testament to the path that, you know, being a little bit hubris here, I think that we paved a great path for that with the Gravitron and kind of the gamification of smoking. But I wish that we would have, you know, I wouldn't have given up on the waterfall, because I think I still believe it's a real market.
Well, taking a look at the entirety of the cannabis market, it's not often when an accessories brand decides to become plant touching, right? Very, very often they stay to just doing accessories, but you guys decided to go with the Grav Reserve, which is, you know, a cannabis product that's actually sold in dispensaries. When you were making the decision to launch that product, what was the driving force behind launching that in the first place? And then secondarily, deciding on a partner, you know, there's so many distribution and so many different growers in this game. Like, how did you finally settle on the one that you wanted to launch your product with?
Well, at first I need to be clear that we're not plant touching. You know, technically the way that we have launched in California is to license the brand. Lots of, you know, creative ways to do that. And we do have a decent amount of, you know, creative control over the way that the brand shows up, and that hence the Grav Reserve. But, you know, it's, you know, to your point, it's all about choosing partners, right? And we've gone out and chosen partners that represent the value systems that we've, you know, that we've grown this business with, you know, throughout our career. And so, you know, you'll see that, you know, the Cure Company is, you know, our big, you know, is a partner of ours right now, which is, you know, a sub brand of Jungle Boys, and we love them. And, you know, kind of in that similar category, we're going after people who are, you know, developing interesting phenotypes, who are building a company with, you know, with justice in mind, and are doing it, frankly, without like a lot of institutional funding. You know, it's just a part of us that believes that, you know, what funds cannabis and who benefits from cannabis should remain in, you know, in that community. And so we really do our best to make sure that remains a priority.
Right. And I do want to apologize. I didn't mean exactly plant touching. I know you guys don't have a BCC license, but I meant plant touching in the fact that you're actually giving your brand an actual place in a dispensary other than just as an accessory product. When you guys are deciding on which strains that you want to actually launch with, you mentioned the phenotypes, you mentioned, you know, really understanding the plant. How did you settle on which one? Was that more on your side? Was that more on the Cure Company side? Or was it a combination of both?
It's a combination of both, but it's, you know, but I can promise you that it's far more on the partner side. I mean, we're not out here trying to pretend like we are, you know, cannabis sommeliers, right? Like we recognize where we can, we recognize where we're really good and, you know, and the best, frankly, designing the devices. And, you know, we intend to continue to iterate on top of those designs. We've got a lot in the pipeline there, and, you know, developing relationships based on our history and being a brand that is, you know, widely distributed across, you know, this country and multiple countries is, I think, what attracts, you know, other brands to working with us. And, you know, and I do think it's a combination of recognizing, you know, of knowing our strengths and playing into those strengths and recognizing the strengths of the brands that we work with and playing into those. That's not to say that we're not, you know, that we don't have an opinion about, you know, the flower we're putting in these things. We do, right? But it's more about picking the people than it is about picking the strengths, right? Like, you know, if everybody's going to have a failure. And, you know, I believe that companies specifically are judged by how well they handle those failures, not how well they execute on the easy stuff.
That's a great quote right there. I mean, it hits the nail on the head. When you're looking at the totality of the market, though, I mean, look at the expanse that you currently have and how many different markets that you're in, right? Right now, you're just in California with Grav Reserve, but there are several states that are coming online. Have you looked at expansion beyond California, or is California your main focus for right now?
For right now, it's just California. I mean, we are absolutely, we have plans to go into other markets, but we don't want to make the same mistakes that other brands that have licensed their brand have made, meaning that, you know, this is not, we have the great benefit of having an entire business that's very successful that around the accessories that are sold through head shops. So we don't have to go fast. We want to do it the right way the first time. And we know that California is, frankly, the center of the earth for cannabis. And, you know, if we get it right in California, then we can absolutely get it right in all the other markets.
And you're right. California, largest adult use market in the world by a large margin. But, you know, you guys being based in Austin, are you hopeful for legislation change in your home state for cannabis law?
Man, we worked so hard during this legislative session. We work with some great people. The folks at the Vicente were phenomenal. And, you know, we partnered with some lobbyists here in town, Salient, and, you know, we got Grav swag in the hands of every legislator whose door was open and we could drop a bag in, which was fun. But, Texas has some really big barriers, namely the really old hat Republican lawmakers who, frankly, are just, you know, behind the times prohibitionists, and they won't be in office forever. And when they leave Texas, which is already polling to, you know, significantly, heavily in the favor of legalization, will become legal as well. The problem with Texas is that we have a legislative process. There's no ballot initiative. So even if 70%+ of the people in Texas want to legalize cannabis, they have to do it through their lawmakers. So the only way to make that happen is to convince their representatives to vote for legalization. And those representatives have different interests.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is true. But there are a lot of people right now moving into Texas, Austin in particular. When you're looking at the market, and you're looking at where you're currently selling, and you're looking at the products that you're selling, is there currently what you would consider to be the hottest market for accessories right now?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's no question that the accessories business is not only hot, but it's growing as a percentage of revenue. And what I mean by that is simply that, you know, as dispensaries start to become more institutionally stable, meaning that, you know, they understand their operations and they're good at pushing, you know, customers through the door, and, you know, inventory, you know, consumable inventory stabilizes, then you see them upselling. And that's exactly what's going on right now, is that, you know, they're recognizing, hey, who can we work with to build out more SKUs that can, you know, that customers are interested in purchasing. And we're very confident that, you know, that our product lineup, Glass, and, you know, the other accessories brands have a right to be in dispensaries. And those categories are growing as a percentage of sales. I mean, albeit very small, no question, but it's a big part of the business for us now.
Well, when you look, like I said, when you look at everywhere, if you had to pick one place, is there a particular place that's growing faster than anywhere else? Like, what if you had, like, since you are as big as you are, I'm just kind of curious of where, in your opinion, is the hottest market for accessories? Is it Texas, since there's so many people moving in? Would you say it's New York, since it's legalized now for recreational use? Are there a lot of new buyers over there? Like, what is the hottest market for accessories in your opinion?
All I can tell you is speak from the lens of Grav, obviously. So my opinion is highly colored by the data that I see, and the data that we see is colored by the fact that we're in Texas, and Texas people do like buying Texas brands. So, you know, the easy answer is that we do an immense disproportionate amount of sales in Texas. That said, when we go to shows like the Champs Trade Show, everybody that comes up to us is like, God, you're so lucky you live in Texas. Texas is our biggest market. And, you know, that's partly because Texas still has an incredible cannabis culture. And what I mean by that is that the, you know, I think that when, you know, that as markets get regular, get destigmatized, that, that there is some destruction of that ritual, meaning that, you know, in California, it's, you know, basically been decriminalized since the 90s. I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, it, you know, they only target people that they want to target for probably, you know, bad reasons. But for the most part, people in California have been able to consume cannabis relatively easily for the past 20 plus years. And what the net effect of that is that you just have less, you know, cachet around like taking a big bong rip, or, you know, as a percentage of cannabis consumers, right? Whereas in Texas, it's still like, hey, I got this weed from my dealer. Do you want to come over to my house and smoke it in my expensive bong? It's like, that's still a really cool thing, right? And so Texas, absolutely. I mean, again, guessing, I think that Texas has the strongest accessories market, not just because we're here.
I gotta ask, man, what's next on the product line for you? You know, you guys have been exploding in the 17 years that you guys have been in existence. What's the next five look like?
I'm trying to say this, but without tipping my hat, I think that, look, it's, you know, frankly, it's more single use. So, you know, I'll just tip the hat, right? Like, it's, I'm laser focused in single use cannabis consumption, meaning that, like, I believe that COVID, you know, highlighted an aspect of the ritual of consumption that is like, yeah, you can share it, but yeah, you know what? It doesn't mean that you have to pass the joint and basically make out with someone else while you're consuming cannabis, right? We can do it in a responsible way, the same way that people share a six pack of beers, right? And, mm-hmm. What, you know, what we are doing in California and what we will be doing in the rest of the country is to carve out a massive category in dispensary for single use glass cartridges for cannabis consumption. And that's what the next 5 years are for us. No question.
We would like to thank Dave for his time and being on today's episode. If you would like to know more about Grav, you can visit them online at www.grav.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you here on the next episode of Conversations in Cannabis.